Brother. Colossians chapter 3. Praise the Lord for these young'uns. Do pray for the young'uns there. Terry mentioned different things going on. God knows every need. This is maybe an odd message, but I thought about back last year, and I guess I was about as sick as I've ever been, and made about three different trips to the doctor, and they gave me antibiotics, and the last round, and y'all know what I'm talking about, it said the last round, she said, this has got side effects. Said, we don't like to give it, but said, you're not getting better, we've got to give it. And she went to giving the side effects, and one of them was my ankles and my feet and my legs, and I talked to one of our paramedics about it, and they said, we don't take it. But I guess the message that God laid on my heart today, and you know, the side effects of it sometimes is it's more dangerous than just going ahead with what you got. Amen. Just go ahead and die with what you got. And I thought about with this coronavirus, amen, if we ain't careful what we got. Amen. If we ain't careful what we got, it's going to be more dangerous. Going to be more dangerous than coronavirus. Amen. And I saw without a shadow of a doubt how Satan has tried to take us out of church and tried to break us down and bring division in the church. And is there anybody can tell me right here today that their mind is totally settled on what they're doing? Can keep it in one place for just a few minutes? I can't. I can go to the altar. I can go to the altar and pray. I can go to my altar in the woods and I forget. I forget what I even prayed about. Sometimes I forget, did I go? Have I just been? Am I gone or am I coming back? Do we know what I'm talking about? Amen. We can say we're right on top of it if we want to. Amen. But we're deceiving ourselves. We're absolutely fooling ourselves. So I guess what God's laid on my heart there Friday or Saturday morning, I woke up with this on my heart. And it's the side effects of sin. And you know, the Bible plainly tells us that there is pleasure in sin for a season. But that season is short. Amen. And then there's a side effects for sin. Come on, brother. And you know, I found out as I look back over my own life, since I've been a Christian and before, some of the side effects that I caused, amen, by trying to satisfy flesh. Trying to give flesh what flesh wanted, and I ended up with the side effects of was greater than the pleasure of sin for a season. The side effects was killers. I just wanted to get that planted in our mind, the side effects of sin, and I hope we get this. And I know that's the side effects of sin ain't in the Bible. I know that, but sin's in the Bible. And we'll read here in Colossians 3. Say again, appreciate all that's come, all that honored and respected the church door opening back up. Amen. Amen. Praise God for it. Praise God that we're able to be here. For ye then be risen with Christ. He said, if ye be. We can jump back up there just a little bit. He says, touch not, taste not, and handle not. And he comes back down to the first verse in the third chapter of Colossians, and he said, if ye then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He said, set your affections. You know what affections is kind feelings, compassionate towards each other. And he said, set your affections on things above. Neighbor, it's been hard for this old boy to keep my mind stayed on things above. My mind has wanted to go, and I'll be honest with you, I'm just one of you. I'll be honest with you, my mind has wanted to go in every other direction. I've wanted to be angry, I've been aggravated, and I want to go off. Amen. Some of you the same way. Yes, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And I wonder, glory to God, I got to thinking about this and how we have taken church for granted, how we've taken the Spirit of God, how we've taken the grace of God for granted, amen. And he said, set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. I wonder if we ain't got our thanks too much on the things of the earth. We figure the church door is going to be open, the preacher's going to come and preach, and we can go out and do the same thing we've been doing right over and over and over. Honey, there's nobody seeming to believe that Jesus is soon coming back. I believe that we'd live a different life. Our affection toward our fellow man and our brother and our sister in Christ, amen, and our man that's out there is lost and undone without God. Honey, there's people dying and going to hell, and they're on every street corner. I picked up a boy this morning and invited him to church, picked him up, and he said, well, if my clothes was clean, and I'm going to stop by and see him maybe hopefully this week by the grace of God and say, put you on some clean clothes and I'll be by about 10:45 or 10:30 or something of that nature. But we've always got an excuse why we don't do no better. Excuse. Glory to God. I knowed when I woke up this morning at about 4 o'clock the first time that this was Sunday morning. This is the Sabbath day. And the Bible said, I remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I didn't have to turn over and ask Janet, even though I've been retired a long time. I didn't have to ask Janet, is this Sunday? Sometimes I forget Monday and sometimes I forget Thursday. Honey, but I remember the Sabbath day. I want to keep it holy. Glory to God. And he said, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And if we're dead, our life, our everyday life ought to be hid in Christ. And I need to put on the whole armor of God and keep myself sanctified and cleaned up, amen, by from the world. I don't need to get entangled in this world. And when I get angry and I let my mind begin to stray off and I run in other directions and get aggravated at people, I'm going to tell you, honey, I'm not in the will of God. I'm not hid in Christ because I've walked out of the bar where Christ had me hid. I've walked out of the gospel of Christ. I've walked out from what God give me when he saved and sanctified my soul in 1968, glory to God, when he put a whole new armor, a robe on me, amen, changed my way of thinking, my way of talking, amen, and my way of going, turned me around and set me in the straight and narrow path where I've been on the broad and the wide, glory to God. And I praise his holy name for what he's done for me. And for a little while I was hid in Christ because I respected Christ. I was tickled to death that he'd saved my soul. I was thanking him daily, amen, for what he'd brought me out of. And when I had confusion, it seemed like God would open a door, or he'd send somebody by, or he'd hear a preacher preach, or maybe read a verse in the scripture, amen, that helped me keep that little hedge of Jesus around me, that little hedge from keeping me going back into the world and keeping me going back into the things. And as I began to grow up, you know, I got off of the milk and got into the Word of God, and sometimes I've just quit along the way. How about you? Amen. We've quit reading the Word of God. We've quit respecting Jesus Christ. We've quit respecting the church. We tried 2-3 weeks ago how to preach on the church, and it's a great place that God has set aside in this old world that we can come into. And the devil ain't never done nothing since Jesus Christ but tried to destroy the church and shut down the church and keep the church from going. He's done everything that he can to cause confusion in our churches, to break us down, confusion between the deacons and the people, glory to God, between the denominations. He's done everything that he can. But can I tell you something? The church is still church. God has got his hand on the church, and the devil ain't big enough to break it down. If we'll stand where God wants us to stand, church is church, glory to God. Church is essential. Church is important. Church, I don't need to try to make it without church. I can sit and watch better preachers than me on TV. I can sit, glory to God, in prayer meetings. I can sit and listen to the singing all day long. But there ain't nothing like me being in the house of the living God, where God has blessed us and saved us and blessed us so many times. I can sit in that pew there and something else going on and my mind be totally beat down. I can sit there and I can look around and I begin to think of something God done for me, something where God picked me up, something where I was headed for a devil's hell, and the devil couldn't drag me no farther. He pulled me nearly to the gates, but Jesus Christ stepped up and said, this is mine. You can't have him. You're not going to take him to hell. I'm going to use him for the glory of God. I'm going to save his soul. I'm going to give him a place in the church. Come on, church, are you in your place in the church? Are you where God God set you in the church? Are we doing the work that God set us out to do? Am I praising God like I ought to be praising God? If I can't visit, I still need to praise God. I need to get out on the side of the road once in a while and praise God. I just stop along the way. How many times has God taken care of our every need? You know, sis, we lost our first baby, and the doctor said that me and Janet, the way we was hooked up, God only knows. Says you'll never have no more youngins. Well, that's mine sitting there. I'm going to tell you, the doctors don't always know. There's a God that can deliver. All we need to do, sis, is give God praise, honor, and glory. God is a healer of cancer. God is a healer of the heart. And more than anything else, God is a protector of the devil. I'm glad today that the devil can't break through the barriers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise Him today for what He's done for us. How He's been there when there was trouble in our life and it looked like there wasn't no way out. Have you ever been to you couldn't get your breath and you thought, I just can't go another step. I don't know what else to do. Everything I've touched has fell apart. They're dying around me. There's sickness around me. They're diagnosing me with bad diseases. And about that time, the Spirit of God, the dove of God, comes over and speaks to our heart. Oh, there's peace in Jesus Christ today. Oh, praise His holy name. What I'm preaching on is the side effects of sin. The side effects of sin. Let me go on in the Word of God. The Bible said in the 5th verse, He said, mortify. You know what mortify means? You know, the altar's open if you need to come. You know what mortify means? Do away with it. Get rid of it. Cut it off. Mortify there your members which are upon the earth. And He goes on to say fornication. We need to mortify fornication. He said uncleanness of any type. He said, we need to mortify it. I want to bring out some things that is sin today so we can get into the part of the side effects of sin. I want us to know if we don't know what sin is, then we'll never know what the side effects are. We'll not be expecting side effects if we don't know what sin is. He said, uncleanness. He said, inordinate affections. Inordinate affection. That's excessive. Excessive affection. And what that's saying is we get all lusted up in one thing. Excessive affectionate. We get all, amen. Sometimes the preacher gets all carried away with one of the women in the church. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. It's excessive, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Do you know what a concupiscence means? It's sexual desires. Violent sexual desires with no way to control ourselves. And I thought about there's a spirit out there today, and maybe I didn't pronounce that to suit some of you, but it's evil concupiscence. But I want us to look out there today how many child molesters there is in our land. Let's look out there today how many rape cases. Let's look out there today about pornography on every corner you turn to. Let's look out there today, glory to God. It's evil concupiscence, and it's putting it in our mind, glory to God, till we can't handle our own self. We need to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, covetousness, which is adultery. And I've never seen a time when people are so jealous of each other, so jealous that this one has got that. I don't care if you build 40 houses on 40 different corners and already 75 farms, glory to God. I don't care what you get. Give God what's His. Amen. And let the rest go. It don't matter what you've got. But when it starts taking you away from the house of God, when you have to call in and say, I can't come to church because of my wife, or I can't come to church because of my land, or I've bought some cattle, or I've bought a farm, and I've got to go check it out. I'm going to tell you, we got too much. Glory to God. God's going to be first, or He ain't going to be at all. And He said in the 6th verse, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Do you know what the wrath of God is, or the wrath of anybody else? It's a violent rage. I'm going to tell you one day, God is going to get angry with sin. God's going to get tired of sin. God's going to get tired of us church people that keep saying we're Christians and doing what we want to do, walking where we want to walk, and hindering those that are trying to do good. We won't do ourselves, and we're trying to cut them off. I've talked to a backslider this week. Glory to God. And how do you know they're backslid? They don't know it, but I know they're backslid because they're talking about church members. They don't like what we're doing. Some didn't like us coming into church. But I'm going to tell you something. God didn't ban me from church. Amen. God ain't banned me from preaching the word. God ain't banned me from lifting my hands. God ain't banned me from praying at the altar. God ain't banned me. Amen, sis. Oh, Virginia girl, God's let it be all right for me and you to shake hands. Son, it's good to have you with us. You ain't afraid to shake hands with me, are you? Amen. Glory to God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We're afraid of each other. We're afraid, glory to God. We don't trust God. And we have bound God in our hearts and our spirits. We need to turn the spirit loose and let it eat into the souls of these that are not serving God. These that started serving God and have backed down along the way. Church, I'm beginning to feel all right. Amen. Glory to God. I ain't near as old and tired as I was when I come into the church house. Praise his holy name. And he said, into which ye also walked sometimes. How can we down them? He said, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Anger. Anybody been angry this week? Amen. I saw a little fit pitch this week. Right. Hello? Amen. I'm going to start sticking my finger up the nose of some of them pitching fits. Amen. Not to pick out boogers either. Stop your breathing. But now ye also put off these. Anger. Wrath. I just have told you what the wrath of God, the violent rage. And he said malice. And I jotted this one down. I wanted to get this. Malice. It's a desire to injure someone. It's an ill will, and it's spiteful. Do you know anybody that's spiteful? Hey, do you know anybody that thinks they're the only one that's right? Hey, they got malice in their heart. And the Bible told us to do away with this stuff. Do away with anger and wrath and malice. And he said, blasphemy. I want you to listen to blasphemy, if you will. We know it said we can talk about God, and we can talk about Jesus, and we can talk about church. But he said, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. He said, you can't get forgiveness. When you blaspheme, you turn away the Holy Ghost power of God, or deny the Holy Ghost power of God. And he said he would speak to us, and he'd teach us when we deny that and deny that. Honey, there's no more forgiveness of sin when we keep denying God. But let's look at a simple definition of blasphemy. He said profane speaking of God or sacred person or things. Listen, blasphemy. Profane speaking of God or sacred person or things. The church is a thing. We better be careful what we say against the church. We better be careful what we say against the men of God, the women of God. I don't understand everything that goes on, but we need to be careful. We need to be careful there. We can end up in blasphemy. And I thought about filthy communication out of your mouth. The Lord said, we need to let that go. We need to get that out of our mouth. And he said in the 9th verse, he said, lie not one to another. I'm going to tell you, when you start lying to yourself, listen to me, when you got a problem in your life and you start lying to yourself and saying it's somebody else's fault, bless God, you're lying to yourself. If you lie to yourself, you'll lie to anybody else. I know people, and I used to work with one, and I guess it was mean, but he was one. If you started talking about sickness before 10 o'clock, he'd be sicker than a dog, and sometimes he'd go home. Amen. He got it in his mind that he was sick. You know, I'd rather have it in my mind that I'm all right, I'm well. Everything's going good at my house. You know, I don't want to dwell on sickness. I don't want to dwell on a bad hip or a bad eye or a hernia. I don't want to dwell on that. I want to dwell on the good things of God. I want a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. We need to smile once in a while. Y'all smile at me. I don't care if you laugh out loud. Amen. Glory to God. I've been laughed out before. We need a smile on our face. We need some joy in our heart. Some happiness. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The side effects of sin is what I'm preaching on. I'm just about ready to go there. And he said, "And lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." How many have got up in the morning and moaned and groaned? All young people have. "I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to work. And I've been young. I know what it is. This is awful. I'll have to do more than anybody else. Bless my heart." But once you get up and hit the floor and maybe drink a tea or a Kool-Aid or a Mountain Dew, or I drink coffee. Amen. I begin to feel a little bit better. And I've told Janet lately, I said, "Here it is, 8:30, and I ain't done nothing. I got to get at it." We need to get at it. Amen. We need to get at it about the Father's business. The devil said, "You can't go to the hospital and you can't go to the nursing home. How are you going to get at it?" Yeah. "You can't go to the funeral home. If you have a funeral, you can't have but just a few." Yeah. The devil said, "How are you going to get at it?" He said, "You can't have church. We done banned the church. How are you going to get at it? How are you going?" Don't he talk to you like that? Yeah. Said, "How are you going to get at it?" Yeah. Amen. Get up before 8 and get at it. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. Go out. God will give you somebody to talk to. God will give you peace at the altar. God will lift you up if you're down. If you're sicker than a dog, he'll make you feel better. Amen. If we'll get at it, we need to get out there and get at it. Glory to God. Amen. Instead of moaning and groaning. I've dreaded coming to church and almost cried out loud. And he said, "And have put on the new man." We've done away with the old man and his deeds. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Let me get this one. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." And I thought about, glory to God, and I jotted down 3 or 4 just names, and I won't go deep in them, and I won't go deep into sins here. Let me jump over to Galatians and read this quick. Galatians, he said, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is lust, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions," and here saved. He said, "envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like of that which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." I didn't say that, honey. I'm telling you the side effects of sin. Glory to God, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Things that look good, honey, things that's been taken away from the children of God. God said, "I've never withheld any good thing from you. I've never withheld any good thing from his children." I think about a man named Adam and Eve in the garden, in the beginning of creation. They had everything. They were naked and didn't even know it. Everything was theirs. And the only thing, God said, "You can't eat of the tree of good and knowledge. You'll become come as gods." And you come the devil along. Amen. And they didn't see what the side effects of sin was going to be. But he finally told the man and said, "You'll make your living by the sweat of your brow, the sweat of your face." Amen. Glory to God. And he told the wife, he said, "You'll be saved in childbearing." They didn't realize what they done. Just the sin, amen, of that couple brought sin on the land today. Amen. Brought sin on us today. They never seen the side effects. I bet thousands of times if they could have went back and said, "Glory to God, I don't want to do this. I ain't going to do this. I let that tree go. I don't want none of that tree. Let it go. I've got everything." Look how many thousands of people have ended up in hell because of sin, because they eat. Side effects of sin is greater than we want to pay today. Church, think about it. We can't cover nothing. We can't even cover the beginning of what's going on here. But I thought about Cain and Abel. Cain slew Abel because he was jealous of him there. And he slew Abel. And I thought, how many of us in church have slew each other? And I thought about it. It said, from the ground, from the earth, Abel cried out to Cain. Can you imagine? You think about a grave out there and you walk by the grave and one said, you done me wrong. You kill me. I was your brother and you kill me. You talking about torment? I'm talking about the side effects of sin. When that, in that grave, and his brother began to cry out, he said, you stopped my life. I would have given you anything that I had, but you stopped my life because of jealousy. Come on, church. Glory to God. I believe it's time that the grave starts crying out to us some people that we've done wrong instead of us justifying ourselves and say we've done everything right. We need to recognize who we are and where we're at. If the Lord Jesus Christ ain't bubbling over in our soul, I'm a mean man. I'm a man that'll break you down. I'm a man that'll take away from you. I'm a man that'll hurt you. I need Jesus Christ down deep in my soul, rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, the shield. Glory to God. To protect you all from me and me from you all. I need Jesus Christ today. Think about Adam and Eve. Think about Cain and Abel. Think about, I jotted down Esau and Jacob. It's been the years I've been saved, 52, Esau and Jacob. Think about Esau and Jacob. Under the law, Esau was supposed to got the birthright. But God did foreknow, so he told their mama. Told her mama that the older would serve the younger. And I thought about Esau. He had everything. But he sold his birthright. And I thought about, have we sold our amen? Have we sold out our amen? You won't say amen much if it hits where you're living. And ain't nobody going to holler on me. Have we sold out? Have we sold out our spiritual birthright? Have I? I'm so ashamed of Bill through this coronavirus, I could die. I'm ashamed of Bill. I ain't happy with Bill. I ain't happy the way I've handled everything. I'm having trouble not get aggravated at some soldiers. Amen. Won't tell everybody else what to do, but ain't going to do nothing herself. Have I sold out my amen?
Amen.
I'm telling us the truth. Y'all can sit back and not say nothing if you want to. But I'm telling us the truth. Anyway, Esau sold it out. And the children of Moab, they were probably Esau's, but they wasn't happy. They were continuously against Israel. They were continuously against Jacob. Why? Because he looked back and seen. Can I tell you something? A man backslid on God may smile, but it's a counterfeit smile. I'm going to tell you, sin will take your joy. Sin, David, our buddy David, amen, said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Sin, the effects, the side effects of sin. Let me go on. He said, Noah and the ark. And I thought, 120 years, Mr. Noah preached. You're talking about faith and patience. Amen. Had never seen an ark. Had the plans from God. Stepped out by faith. Everybody that come through, them Baptists come through, what in the world is he doing now? It ain't never rained. An ark? A boat? What in the world? And old Noah just kept a hammer. Oh, Noah just kept a hammering. Noah just kept a hammering. How about it, Jerry? It's hard to just keep a hammering when everybody's against you, ain't it? Just keep a hammering. And he just kept a hammering. And every day a little bit of it come together. But I'm going to tell you the consequences and the price of sin, the side effects of sin. When that old ark was finished, there was thousands, probably thousands of people standing knocking on the door, said, can I get in? Said, I'm sorry I made fun of you. Can I get in that ark? And the water began to raise, and they wasn't no place to go. Can I get in that ark? I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes back, amen, and calls the saints of God home, there's going to be hundreds standing at the church. Can I get in? I'm going to tell you that you that are out of the church today need to be back into the church. You that are listening by Facebook need to be back into the church. These that, glory to God, are listening across our country, you can't come to Mount Vernon Church, but you need to be in a church somewhere that you might help somebody else. We need to be soldiers. If there's a soldier over yonder and a soldier over yonder, the middle is wide open. We need some togetherness with our soldiers, glory to God, that Satan can't penetrate. I don't know the number. The number don't, not in the Bible. But 8 souls were saved. How many? As the water come up. I can't swim. You got to let me in. You cut some of my trees and you use some of my pitch. I showed you. I didn't say nothing about you. Those others are the ones that made fun of you. Don't you know me? Noah, can I get in? Noah, can I get in? And how about Elisha? Not Elijah, but Elisha, that got a double portion. And I believe this is in Kings. I'm not sure. We can look it up. But there was 42 children. I just have read to you about blasphemy. He said, don't do it. There's 42 children seen Elisha. He said, look at that bald-headed man. Seen Elisha, look at that bald-headed man. The man of God got enough of that junk.
Yep. Amen.
And them 42 little smart-aleck young ones, they need to be in church. Yep. I know there wasn't no church in, but they need to be in the synagogue. Amen, or in the tabernacle. They need to sit under some people, some parents and grandparents that said, you don't make fun of the man of God.
Amen,
amen. And they made fun of the old bald-headed man.
Right.
Not what he's saying, just his looks. Made fun of the old bald-headed man. Old bald-headed man got tired of it. Elisha got tired of it. He cried out to God, and he said, there's 2 she-bears come down.
Come
and the Bible said that he tired 42 children. The 2 she-bears tore them. You can go to the Smokies and they got signs, don't feed the bear, don't get close to the bear. But can you imagine 2 bears that were sent from God that come down and just ripped the children?
Yeah.
Don't you know, without a shadow of a doubt, there were some parents and grandparents sitting at home and said, my Lord and my God, what happened to my children?
Right.
God, why did you let my children and my grandchildren get tore all to pieces? Amen. They'd come against the man of God. I feel the power of God. Don't come against the man of God. Don't come against the house of God. Don't come against the work of God. Don't come against the woman of God. And I'm not telling you women to preach, but I'm telling you there's some women of God. Amen. That does the work of God. That prays down the power of God. I'm going to tell you, don't mess with them. You better leave them alone. The Bible said, touch not mine anointed. Amen. Touch not mine. Well, I ain't said a word against you. Your looks would kill a Brahma bull. Amen. Our looks sometimes would kill a Brahma bull. We dodge and snake about on each other. Ever? You've been married that young lady a good while. Used to be young. Didn't you pretty well tell by her looks? I know when it's time to go to the wood pile in the summertime. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If church made me miserable, as it does some people, I wouldn't even come. I wouldn't come. How about Lot's wife? Old Lot done it. And the Bible called him a righteous man. He got down in the wrong place, the bright lights of Sodom and Gomorrah. God told him, he got him out. And he said, don't look back. How many of us have looked back? Come on, church, we won't admit it, but how many of us have looked back?
Jealousy.
How many of us has got jealousy, envy, and strife in our hearts today? How many of us are looking to get angry or to get even with some? We used to have a preacher here, and his wife said, I don't forgive if I get even.
Yeah.
Boy, that's biblical, ain't it? That's biblical. Lord have mercy. God help us. But Lot's wife today is standing as a pillar of salt somewhere down around the Dead Sea. As a pillar of salt. How about David? And Jesus was of the seed of David. So what a great man was David. But we think about with the sins of David. And he said, and this really hit me this weekend, that Bathsheba was the one that was naked. Bathsheba was the one that was bathing.
Yep.
It don't say that Bathsheba was blind, because she could see David looking over the wall. But you know, she never, the only thing she done was lost her youngin'. But I'm going to tell you what God told David, because he is the man of the house. He told David, said, the sword will never leave. We find incest in David's family. We find his son come against him, tried to take over kingship. We find that Solomon went ahead and built the temple. Amen. And all he could do was use the plans that God had given David. But he couldn't do anything on it. He couldn't do anything but sit by. Don't you know, glory to God, don't you know the side effects of sin eat David up? Can I tell you that could be the sword that's at our house today? That side effect of sin is eating us up. We would like to do this, but we can't. We'd like to fix that, but we can't. I thought about Solomon, and the Bible said he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and the Bible said that his strange wives took away his heart. He had so many women, and he was trying to build here, and they finally even built, and I believe it was to Dagon on the Mount of Olives. They built temples to worship Satan. I'm talking about the man of God, Solomon, the man of God, more knowledge, more wisdom than anybody before. The side effects of sin. You know, when he married one, he married two, and then he got a concubine, and married two more, and got three more concubines. And the next thing you know, it was more than he could handle. So just to get them to shut up, he built them a temple to whatever. Just come on, church. How about Potiphar's wife? Amen. She done everything she could to get Joseph run out of town, to break his. How many preachers have been lied on? To get them out of the pulpit. They ain't much use to lie on them anymore. They ain't preaching nothing. Amen. Solomon's strange wives took away. How about, and I preach on this, I thought, the devil told me, said, the church is getting so tired of hearing you preach on the children of Israel. But I thought about, and I can't help but think about, the children of Israel. That looked back, seen the enemy drowned, they got out of bondage, then went back and went to muttering and complaining just shortly after that. I said, why didn't you leave us down there? Have you looked back lately? Have we looked back lately? A lot of us preachers look back and say, boy, I'd love to just go sit back there in the pew and just let them preach. If it's right, all right, and if it's wrong, all right. I'd love to be sitting out there in the car with Janet. This ain't my call. Can I tell you, this ain't my call. This ain't my call. Well, it's getting drier and drier. Just keep preaching, Bill. How about old Samson? Did it cost Samson? What I'm preaching on is the side effects of sin. Samson had killed so many. The Philistines didn't like him. They were doing whatever they could. What did the Philistines use against? They saw Samson's, his weakness. So they sent a beautiful Palestinian woman to trick him. And he thought, just like us Baptists today, I can't lose it. Look at me. I can whip any Philistine that comes up. So he went to sleep. Told her his secret. What did it cost him?
Everything.
You know, I saw one of these old grist mills when I was in Israel. And they wasn't drawn by a horse. And there was a rock out here and a long pole. And they walked and they made fun of him. They brought him out. And the one I saw was on the Mediterranean Sea. And they had rock bleachers all around. And underneath they had jails. And they brought old Samson out of that jail. And they brought him up and hooked him to that grist mill. And there he was. Done punched his eyes out so he couldn't run. And there he was. Just cut his hair and there he was. Everybody sitting and watching him. Where's that God of yours at? What happened to your God? All those Philistines you killed, now we've got you. You'll be put in the stocks. But his power began to come back. But what did it cost him? His life. Besides his eyesight and the shame and the agony, it cost him his life. The little boy placed his hands on the pillars and he pushed. And I believe, best I remember, I've not read it lately, 1,000 Philistines, more than he'd ever killed in all of his life, died, but he lost his life too. He lost his life too. Are you willing to give your life today? Are you? The side effects of sin is awful. The more I thought on this, the side effects of sin is more than I want. You know, the side effect of a medicine I could stand. Krista, you know what I'm talking about. The side effects of your first there was awful. The side effects were terrible. And they told me, he said, if your ankles in there, if they start aching, you get here now. Get here now. Don't wait. Can I tell you something? If you're seeing the side effects of sin in your life, get here now. Get here now. Don't put it off. Don't go on. And he said, Judas, how about Judas? I just jotted these down this morning. But how about Judas? Had eaten at the table with Jesus. Had carried the money bag. Had been a part of the ministry. The side effects of sin. He didn't want the money. It wasn't good enough. Throwed it and they bought the potter's field. And it said Judas leaped off, probably hung himself, and he said his bowels gushed out. This may not be the exact words, but his bowels gushed out. He died. I'm talking about a man that sat beside of Jesus. I wonder, and he said, many went away from Jesus. And he said to the disciples, he said, will you also go away? And they said, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. But I wondered about those that went away. I wondered about King Agrippa. I never found where he got saved. Many through the Bible, I never found where they got in the will of God. I wonder sometimes, but this ain't my business. How about the rich man over in Luke 16? The rich man, the Bible said he was in hell. Let me find it. Luke 16:23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. My grandson told me the other day, he said, all you know to preach about is hell. He wasn't out there today. I preached Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to come every day to get the whole picture. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Not one torment, but in torments. I wonder if the side effects of sin hadn't got him. And he said, and he seeth Abraham afar off in Lazarus' bosom. And then the Bible said that he cried. You know, I doubt if the rich man had ever cried in public. But he said he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I wonder if the rich man really realized the side effects of sin. The side effects of sin, and this is the last in 15 and 16. The prodigal son, and I promise you, I'll quit. Here it is. Y'all know the story. Everybody's preached this. He had two sons, and daddy divided his stuff up. Well, the younger son, he decided, I'm going to go. And the Bible said that he wasted his goods with riotous living. How many have we seen that wasted their goods with riotous living? How many have we seen that's on food stamps and welfare today, if you'll have it that way, that wasted their goods with riotous living? That brought it down. That's why we're in the shape we're in today. But you think about, he had it. It was his. He lived at his daddy's house, but he walked away. Some of us today, glory to God, if we ain't careful, we're walking away. And he said in the 16th verse, I want to read this. And he said he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave him. Man, I got to thinking about that. You know, he went out and he spent, and I can just see it. He had people following him. He had money. And he bought wine. He had a pretty house. He probably had one of the best mules in town. It don't say that. But he had anything he wanted because he had his daddy's inheritance. And he went about, and with righteous living, he had everybody. So he finally got him a job when he went broke, and he went down to the hog pen. They put him down the hog pen. And he said he would have give anything for just some of the husk. Y'all know what the husk off of ear of corn is? Just the husk. I remember in Cuba one time, and I still don't know what it was, but it looked like fodder shocks to me. But it's boiling water. I tried to eat it. But think about. But he said, they gave it to me. He said, no man gave him. You know, the hogs won't even eat the husk till they eat the corn. And he would have just give anything. I'm talking about one that went away. One that walked away. That had everything. He could have stayed at home with his money. But he walked away. Righteous living. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It could happen to me today. Even though I'm 78 years old, it could happen to me today. Amen. I need to hang on to the horns of the altar. But you know, when he came to himself, that's what the Bible said. He came to himself. He realized out there that all them friends he thought he had didn't show up. All the friends he thought would feed him, that he fed, that he took care of, they wasn't there. And even the man he worked for, don't you know that man really loved him? Wouldn't even give him the husk off of the corn. He desired the husk. So where do you think he felt? In the bottom of the barrel. In a hog pen by himself. Y'all know a hog ain't going to come up and offer it to you. I thought about it again. Swine are unclean to the old Jews. Swine are unclean. So you know what he'd done? He'd left somewhere and went to the Gentiles. I don't know where along the line, or they wouldn't have had hogs. Somewhere along the line, he'd went into a far country. Can I tell you something? Don't leave your heritage. Don't leave your church heritage. I've seen too many try to run to a foreign land to strike it rich. Don't leave your heritage. Be what you are.
Bless him, Lord.
The side effects of sin. God gave that message. Let's eat it. Let's eat it. I can't afford. I can't afford sin. I can't afford no more hardships. I can't afford. The Bible told us plainly there in Colossians and Galatians, we read it right out of the Bible, what sin is. And we just barely touched on the side effects of sin. If you will, get us a song. The altar's open. If you're lost, we'll help you pray. If you need us to help you pray, we'll help you pray. If your burden's bigger than you can handle, we'll try to help you.
357.
And if there's anybody outside that feels they need to come to an altar, and if you're not content, down beside of your car, just open your car door and come in the front door and we'll come to the altar. Somebody will help us pray. If I've stirred any hearts out there today, you've got aggravated at me, the altar's still open. The altar's still open. Church, what we don't realize, this little handful here ain't all that's getting this word. One called Bill this week that it's going down on the coast. So think about, this ain't about just me. It ain't just about you. We're doing this for Jesus' sake. The rich man won't be there to welcome you into hell. The rich man would tell you, don't come. That's what he said to his brothers. He said, go, let them go tell my five brothers, don't come to this awful place. He said, there's torments. Torments. The altar's open. Quit.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus but lost? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood.